The singer and songwriter Bruce Cockburn wrote of how we often feel like we're waiting for a miracle, working for the future like some kind of mystic jewel, waiting for a miracle. How come the future has to take such a long, long time when you're waiting for a miracle? I love that line. And I am perpetually waiting for the fleeing lovers on the Grecian urn to catch each other up at last and embrace. And I am waiting perpetually and forever, a renaissance of wonder. We feel this way sometimes, don't we? Waiting for a rebirth of wonder, waiting for a miracle. We feel that our life, our own life, or the life of society is missing something, or come off the rails, or troubled in important ways, and we don't know how to fix it, or we don't have the power to fix it, so we're waiting. Waiting for a miracle. Waiting for something to change. Waiting for things to become clear. Waiting for folks to come around. Waiting for the revolution, the awakening, for the media to wake up, and the president to act, and the budget to get agreed to, and the check to come in. We're waiting. These last few weeks, months, maybe, Lord have mercy, we are waiting for sanity to break out, for the fever swamp of racist politics to be swept away, waiting for a miracle. I am waiting for someone to really discover America and wail, the poet writes. Well, some of us are wailing, aren't we? Have been for a while. Waiting for a rebirth of wonder and hope. What I love about that poem is the brilliant mix of the mundane and the profound. We wait in expectation for things, little things and big things. Sometimes the little things are distractions, but sometimes they're practice for the mysteries of life. Sometimes the big things seem too abstract, but sometimes they are perspective for the daily struggles. The story about the little girl in her red shoes, Infinity and Me, this morning, folks trying to explain the biggest of big things, a concept so large as to boggle the mind of children and grown-ups alike, and sometimes it feels like you are waiting on infinity, even if what you're waiting for is someone to notice your new shoes, for someone to notice you. We wait for little things and we wait for big things, and they're both important. One can be practice for each other. I think about waiting. You guys know this symbol, right? Some of you do? Some of you maybe, I don't know what that is. How come the future takes such a long, long time when you're waiting for a reply text message? It's not exactly how it goes. That's a symbol, for those of you who don't know this, while you're waiting. They're typing something, you're waiting. Miracles come in all sorts of places. Life is laden with opportunities for miracle or beauty, says Liz Lerner. Moments of choice that bless us if we seize them. This is the paradox of waiting for a miracle. For we Unitarian Universalists, with Einstein and other scientists and mystics, believe that miracles are everywhere, all the time. It's not a unique occurrence of an intervening deity, but the presence and wonder of life itself. So we say, as we will, every night a child is born is a holy night. We say every moment is miraculous if we open our hearts and minds. So we shouldn't have to wait, right? Or we think, we don't wait for someone else. We're not like that. We are the spiritual descendants of the idea of self-reliance, that God's hands are our hands, if you will, or that there are no other hands but ours, and that it is up to us to achieve the world we wish for. We don't wait for miracles, we make them happen, we say sometimes. But Lord, every day, aren't you just exhausted? At least when it comes for the miracles of justice, I'm exhausted, feeling like it is all in our hands, that we must do it. And I've got it easy. I'm a well-educated, white male, middle class. If I want to go a day of my life without thinking about racism and classism and patriarchy, I can. My spiritual practice doesn't let me do that, but that's a choice and not a forced reality. I've got it easy. So if I'm exhausted waiting for a miracle and justice, I can begin to imagine how some of you feel, how others feel. Our longing for justice feels like waiting for a miracle. waiting for an end to hate, waiting for an end to violence and war near and far, waiting for an end to stray bullets and bullets in the back, an end to the neglect of children, waiting for a climate deal big enough to really make a difference and for peace on earth to be more than a line in an old story, waiting for a rebirth of wonder, a rebirth of justice, a rebirth of hope. And we're exhausted by waiting, and we're exhausted by feeling like it's all on us. It's not just about justice where this is true, an end to oppression, though with the violence in deed and in language these days that's high on so many of our minds. It's also about our personal and spiritual lives. We're waiting for a rebirth of wonder. Perhaps your soul is running low, and you're craving a sense of being centered, grounded. Things feel out of control for you, and you've lost your way, so you want it back. And you might be told, be patient, the universe will unfold. And you think, screw that, I need to be centered right now. We laugh a little, but this is a real feeling, isn't it? And not an easy one. When we feel spiritually lost, to wait for that miracle is very hard. We lack the confidence that it will come. Or perhaps our waiting for a miracle, our waiting for love or freedom or hope, is about our personal relational lives. Sometimes I have these weeks or days where I have all these different conversations that are about the same thing, and I think that needs to show up in the sermon because other people are thinking about it. Even if the people I'm talking to, as in this case, are friends and colleagues all over the country and not you in this room, I think, I bet this is on somebody else's heart too. I was struck by similar feelings that three of my friends were having this week, though each reality is so different. One of them separated from his husband a few months ago. It's been a rough year, as you might expect, and the separation has been tough itself. My friend is totally ready to move on, but the husband, not so much. I keep saying it takes time to unravel these things. One day, my friend understands completely. Other days, he's ready to look for his next partner and be completely done. Friend number two is starting a new relationship. It's very exciting, and we're all happy for him. He's a planner, though, and he's got a whole story in his head about how this relationship is going to go. So we say, slow down. His new girlfriend says, slow down, too, which is hard to hear, but she's totally right, and he knows it. There's no hurry. Things have to develop at their own pace. But he doesn't like waiting. Friend number three, she's about to hit one of those significant birthdays. You can imagine what birthday that is based on your own personal life, that significant birthday. And she realized that she wants something to be different in her life. In this particular case, she's done with being young and she's ready to nest and make a family and the whole thing, and now she wants it right away. Doesn't work that way. She knows that. But she wants to act, not just wait, now that she knows what she wants. I could tell relationship stories and life stories like this all day. The divorce you wish would already be over, the new job you wish would become routine rather than having to learn something new every single day, the graduation ceremony you can't wait for because you're ready for what's next, and so on. We could tell stories like this all day. Our theme for the month of December is expectation. And of course, it's Advent. So we're talking about literally expecting. Mary, I mean, she's expecting. That's what this story is about. If you've known a person in their 9th month of pregnancy, then you know that expectation isn't easy. It isn't always comfortable. You're excited for the future, but cherishing the waiting too, sometimes. Sometimes you want the waiting to be over now. You can't sleep at night, though you know you should. So many things to do to keep yourself busy, and yet it really is busy work and distraction from the real thing to do, which is be ready in your soul. So what to say about all this waiting? Waiting for justice, waiting for spiritual healing, waiting for a relationship to begin or to change or to end, waiting for what you long for but isn't ready yet. What to say about this? We can say, trust the seeds. Trust the seeds. When the planting's done, you must trust the seeds. Some may wither and some may grow grander than you can dream. Trusting the seeds is vital. Wendell Berry writes, "Not by your will is the house carried through the night." A phrase I repeat to myself all the time. Not by your will is the house carried through the night. We're not responsible for everything. We're not. We plant seeds, we water, we trust, we hope, we act on faith. There isn't enough oil, but we light the candles anyway. Hanukkah is the commemoration of a delayed religious festival, Sukkot, which couldn't be observed because of the occupation, and they still didn't have enough oil, but they finally stopped waiting and just trusted that it would last. And it did, according to the legend. It doesn't always go that way, but I think you have to trust anyway. What's the alternative? Despair? Burnout? Egoism? Alienation? I think you have to trust. But while we are waiting and trusting, while we're trusting the seeds and the universe and the ways of love, while we're trusting that moral arc of the universe and its bending toward justice, while we're waiting, what shall we do? How shall we live in expectation without making ourselves crazy? I was struggling with this sermon, I'll tell you, this week. I couldn't figure it out exactly. Distracted, I think, by all the political drama of our world and personal stuff and this and that and a busy work week, and I couldn't get my head around it, so I waited, also known as procrastinated. It's a fine line. Wasting time on Twitter, as I sometimes do in the mornings and in the middle of the day, I saw a link to an interview with bell hooks. And I love bell hooks. I have since I read her the first time 20 years ago. She's a writer, an activist, and a philosopher. Teacher, and so I clicked on the interview, and she was being interviewed about a whole variety of things, including what she thinks about love, which she writes about often. And she said, "Well, I believe wholeheartedly that the only way out of domination is love, and the only way into really being able to connect with others and to know how to be is to be participating in every aspect of your life as a sacrament of love." And she says, "When we engage love as action, you can't act without connecting. I often think of that phrase, only connect." And then she tells this story. The first time I got to be with Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Buddhist teacher, I had just been longing to meet with him. I was like, I'm going to meet this incredibly holy man. On the day that I was going to him, every step of the way, I felt that I was encountering some kind of racism or sexism. When I got to him, the first thing out of my mouth was, "I am so angry." And he, of course, Mr. Calm himself, Mr. Peace, said, "Well, you know, hold on to your anger and use it as compost for your garden." And I thought, yes, yes, I can do that. What do you do while you're waiting and trusting the seeds? Do you stand back, withdraw, sit on the sidelines while the work of justice is being done by others, distract yourself from your spiritual hunger with all the technologies of the modern age, grow bitter in your desire for a new or different kind of life, relationship than you have? What do you do while you're in expectation? Bell Hooks says, only connect. Love. Turn your rage into compost. Only connect. Make your life a sacrament of love. That's what you do while you're waiting for a miracle. That's what you do. You have to trust the seeds, and sometimes the time isn't right yet. The time for justice isn't quite at hand. The spirit isn't flowing yet. The change in your love life, your work life, your health, that change you want isn't here yet. Maybe it's coming, but not yet. You have to trust the seeds, but what do you do while they grow underground? You make your life a sacrament of love. You connect. You stay connected. Take each of our examples. The work of justice, our longing for justice. Movements for justice happen when people who are connected to each other work together. If there's no connection, there's no justice. There's no love, it's just politics, here today and gone tomorrow. Build relationships And those relationships will enable activists to learn to trust each other, to stand together when the moment is ripe, and more. More than this, if we all lived a life that was a sacrament of love, justice would already be happening. So be the example. Turn your rage into compost so that something healthy grows instead. Or the spiritual life. Stay connected. Love. If you say, I feel so off-center, the things I do for my life, the walking in the woods, the singing, the journaling, the prayer practice, whatever it is that has helped me in the past doesn't seem to be working, so I'll just stop. That is a recipe for disaster. You keep doing it. You try to love as best you can. You don't just wait for an intervention. You make room for the Spirit. Let every heart prepare a room. You love so that you're ready when things start to flow again. Or in your personal life, stay connected, stay loving. Maybe the relationship or the life status or whatever it is that's going on, the work will change in the way you want or become or end or transform, or maybe it won't. But by being as much as you can a sacrament of love in your own being, you learn to live the way you wish, regardless of what or who else is or isn't in your life or part of your life. While you wait for what will be or will not be, connect to your deepest self, and you'll be open and ready for whatever comes, which will be more often than not a surprise anyway, truth be told. You can apply this idea, trust the seeds, and stay connected to the deeper love, to anything that you feel like you're waiting for, miracle or not. Trust and stay connected. As your children grow up, as the school year inches by, as work comes again day after day, as your parents age, as the world changes, as partisans have their debates, as grief runs its course, as the story unfolds, trust and stay connected. This is how we wait for a miracle with spiritual integrity, knowing we do not carry the house through the night. This is how we wait for a miracle. While knowing that each day, each moment, each life is already a miracle if we choose to see and feel it. This is how the Holy fills our empty places and how we are truly neighbor and friend to each other. Trust and stay connected. So my Advent prayer, my prayer of expectation, that we do not rush what is not ready to be rushed. That we open our hearts and minds to the unfolding realities, that we make ourselves sacraments of love, knowing that whatever happens or doesn't, this is the purpose of our lives. Not what happens, but how we live. I pray that we are open to the unexpected as much as we are patient in expectation, that we trust what is larger than ourselves, and then we do the wise planting when it is time, and we harvest when it is time, and that with love and hope when it is time to do so, we wait. In the name of all those who expect miracles, which is to say all of us, hopeful dreamers, I pray. Amen, shalom, and blessed be. We wait. We hope. We're going to sing.